It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Road trip.
Business trip.
I'm sorry. Here at Citi Field. We're at Citi Field leading you all the way up to the game. When you're hearing the game here on WIP, by the way, this segment brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. One of the voices that you will hear on that broadcast joins us now, Kevin Stocker. Thank you. Appreciate you coming by.
Hey guys, I just sat down. I noticed you guys are wearing red socks up here.
Yes, sir.
Is that in purpose? What about you, Jack?
I got it.
Wait, bro. Not just red.
Oh, you got Philly socks.
I just went with the shoes and the heart socks. Red
not
and blue.
I learned a whole lot about you guys.
So, Kevin, I have to tell you, I was in the car at one point. I think we were coming back from vacation, my wife and I. And we're listening to the game, and you're talking. And I mentioned something that you said, and she said, "Who is that?" And I said, "Oh, it's Kevin Stocker." She got very excited. And don't worry, this is not a bad story. So
Thanks.
So I was like, "What's that?" And she said, "Oh, I saw his first game when I was 9 years old. It was extra innings, I think. I guess she looked it up. It was a 20-inning game that you played every inning of."
Right.
And I said, "Hey, you seem particularly excited for that." And she's like, "Well, I had a crush on him and Milt Thompson when I was 9. So there you go. So hearing your voice.
So great.
Do you remember the 20-inning game?
Of course I do. It was my first big league game ever. And, there were so many things. 20 innings. I had a little bit of everything except a hit. 0 for 6, walk. I made a really nice play to extend the game, sack bunt. What I remember is we came in at 1:30 after the game, 1:30 in the morning, and high-fiving, Crux high-fiving. And I'm like, "This is great." Go to the locker, strip on down to the T-shirt, down to the underwear, the flip-flops, and I get a tap on my shoulder. True story. And it's Dennis Mankey, the hitting instructor, and he says, "Stocker, get a bat and get your tail in the manager's office now." So I'm like, we just won 20 innings, and I feel like I'm getting in trouble. So I grabbed a bat, and I went into the manager's office, and we're all in our T-shirts and underwear and flip-flops. I have a bat, and Fregosi's in there with Larry Boa and Dennis Mankey. And they were sitting there making adjustments to my swing. I mean,
in literally. Your underwear.
Oh, yeah, of course. And so,
a lot of bets.
But the point of it is it was a quick lesson, right, where you know, your adjustments are made so quickly. So at 1:30 in the morning, they came in. They saw some things that at the plate that I wasn't doing that they saw in spring training, came in the next day, made those adjustments, and then took off. But I remember that distinctly, but I'll never forget that first game.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, the story of the Phillies offense has been told several times. Go cold a lot, so on and so forth. It looked like they not only were productive in the second half of last game, but they treated the at-bats a little bit differently. Trey taking a walk, Bryce taking a walk, that sort of stuff. Do you think – Bryce has talked a lot about not chasing approach. Are these players who can, at this point in their career, change their approach, or do you think that – it's just going to have to be them doing what they do and it happening to go well, you know, for the rest of the playoffs?
Well, they're going to do what they're going to do. I think it's difficult to ask Trey Turner to go up there and all of a sudden choke up and have this totally different two-strike approach puts him out of his comfort zone. And if you get too far out of that comfort zone, hitting-wise, then you're not thinking about just seeing the ball hitting the ball. In saying that, the other thing that's tough is – we have blown it up about the chase, and it's true. They chase. They're built that way. They have a lot of power, but they chase. The only thing that concerns me, I guess, a little bit is that you talk about it so much, it gets in their head about don't chase, don't chase. And to me, that's such a negative thought, right? Mm-hmm. So in everything that we do in sports, at least that I did, trying to stay aggressive. For example, Harp is great at this. He'll get up there, and his approach is, I'm going to swing. And to the last minute, he'll check swing. Sometimes. A lot of times, he swings through balls. That's an aggressive approach. So for me, I wouldn't want them to be like, "Hey, you know, don't be as aggressive or take till you get to that sort of thing."
Yeah.
But I do think some of their swings, Trey, this is not a knock. This is kind of the new swing that I see. It's where they talk about having a swing that's connected from your hip to your leg, all in the same motion. It's hard to explain in the radio, but when you have this super connected swing, you tend to have the same swing on every pitch. Okay. The same swing, whether it's down or up, it's the same connected, powerful swing. We used to be real handsy. So some guys, and you're seeing it with Nimmo for the Mets. You see it with Marte, where they had these kind of three-quarter swings. That is a real handsy swing. So you're taking the barrel to the baseball, wherever it is.
Let you adjust a little
bit
more.
And you lose a lot of power that way. You do, because you just, you're kind of flipping a lot of times. Like Stott is more handsy. He sees a lot more pitches, tends to foul balls off more. It's a different swing. That was what we all did back in the day. Now it's more of a connected swing. I know I'm getting really technical, but
it's interesting.
It just doesn't induce a swing that sometimes with two strikes, they're swinging for the fences, and they are, and they get a lot of strikeouts.
What do you think about our guy down in the batting cage right now? Boehm.
Alec Boehm.
Yeah. Two-part question.
Okay.
The handling of being benched and coming back in now, and also the pressure that comes with the perception of being benched and now what everybody's expecting of you. Alec Boehm being able to handle that in this moment, how do you feel he's going to be able to handle that?
I think he'll be able to handle it fine. This is what I would say, and I was it's a great question of with Alec. He's not hitting the ball right. So he's done a terrific job this year, in my opinion, playing third every day, which has been great, not taking the offense to the defense, defense to the offense. What's happening now is he's struggling at the plate. So one at-bat, he's taking that at-bat to the next at-bat. Right?
Yeah.
So especially in the postseason, if you're a player who's really scuffling, he's deep in his head, his pitch selection isn't really good. If I'm managing, I need a player up there that can go 0 for 4 with four strikeouts. But if he gets a fifth at-bat, he's already forgotten about those four. Mm-hmm. And you guys know that's really hard to do, to forget about. I mean, to forget about that. So with Alec, I know it was the benching. For whatever reason that happened, I think he just needs to kind of – it's not easy to flip a switch, but I think his attitude will be much better that way. Competing, all of these guys, and I tell you, they're at the top of their game, the highest level. They're all competitors. That doesn't mean that they don't need to learn still how to compete.
Right.
And so leadership, your Schwarbers, your Harpers, even Turner to an extent, those guys can really help when you're in a postseason high pressure that you just talked about, trying to get them to separate – and for Alec to separate one at-bat from the other. And I expect him to go out there and be much better today. Run the darn thing out. Run the ball out. Don't throw your equipment. That does stuff. All that does is suck energy out of the team. Alec, I think, just gets focused on the negative, and he needs to change that around, and I think he can.
JT had mentioned after Game 2 that he thought they were maybe a little tight in Game 1, and Harper's home run loosened them up and so on and so forth. You're around the team a lot. I didn't expect tight to be a word that I think these guys
creep in with these guys.
With these particular guys, given what they've been through over the last couple of years, is that something that you've noticed, and have you been in a tight locker room before?
I haven't noticed it with these guys.
Okay.
Yes, I have been in a tight, but I've been in a lot of losing clubhouses, so it's not quite the same.
Don't
these
talk
guys,
about the Rays like that.
wasn't just the Rays, man. I'm telling you, we had some thin Philly years.
He knows that.
And I wholeheartedly apologize, my man.
Yeah.
But I have not noticed. These guys do tend to stay loose. In saying that, I do think with this club, because of, you know, last year they had to go through the wild card series. They were like the momentum team, right?
Yeah.
Now you have time off, which I do think they really needed, whether it worked or not, just injury-wise. I don't think the right word is necessarily tight, as they're expected to win, and they're expecting to win. So when they go out there and they go six innings and they're not hitting the baseball, they're kind of like surprised, like what's going on? That is where your big moment guys come in, right? Harp. With the big home run, absolutely. Castellanos has had some big hits. Man, it's so impressive how, you know, Harp 2 weeks ago, and then he comes in the postseason, and he just elevates and focuses. It's unbelievable how he can do that.
Yeah, you forgot that his arm was hurt and when he hits the ball halfway up the brick wall the other day.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
There was a period at which it didn't look like he was going to hit another home run this year. We even did shows where we're like, well, can they get through the playoffs with him as a, you know, putting the ball in play
right.
And then all of a sudden, to Jack's point, he's hitting the ball 500 feet to dead center. You know,
and that, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I do remember he was going through that. And there was a decision to – he did some mechanical adjustments where he had to start getting on top of the ball more just because he couldn't elevate because of the arm and so forth. And then he started hitting more balls the other way in the gap and some doubles. I'm like, oh, his double started to climb. I don't think Thompson would have let him get to this stage without – sitting him enough to get the elbow and all that healthy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
what's the key against Sean Manaea tonight for the Phil's offense?
Oh, man, Manaea. Well, he's dropped down, right? He's got this thing. He's really hard to see. They're going to have to try to get him, this is my opinion, get him down in the zone. He's going to throw this sinker up in the zone, and then he's going to spit in some of these secondary pitches that are going to be balls. And that's where the guys like to chase because they get panicky, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get the fastball or the sinker that he's throwing now down enough to where they can get that ball. And he will give it up.
Yeah.
Sean will give it up.
Why do you think – you look at the splits, right? Lefties are hitting – I think 50 points higher against them?
I have no idea.
It's very weird.
Isn't that weird?
It's weird. Like, is there any rhyme or reason to that?
Well, he's I have no idea. I really don't know.
Sure.
That's why I switched hit back. I didn't want to have to face this guy.
Yeah.
I do think he dropped down. Now, a splits, I would have to go and look because he made this adjustment sometime in late June or July if they're different from then on. But I would say when you drop down like he does, he's more like a Chris Sale, as they're saying. And remember, we're only talking about a couple inches drop. But I think from the left side, these guys, they're getting the sinker in, and sometimes he'll make a mistake maybe over the plate. Versus a righty, he knows he can miss away to a right-hander and not get hurt. Mm. But I really don't have a great answer for you on that.
Kevin,
good question.
Kevin Stocker with us. You know, Rob Thompson has historically been a – you know, ride your guys, don't change anything up. You know, these guys got it. And then all of a sudden this postseason, we all reacted positively to it. There's benching Bohm, and then there's putting Sanchez in the second spot, which in the rotation for this, which we all thought made sense, but was a little, you know, it was a,
I didn't like that move.
Oh, really?
No. But you know what? Who am I to say? I'm a bottom line guy, and it worked because I love the fact that Nola's pitching here.
Right. Yeah. Well, but where do you think – it just seems out of character for Rob Thompson a little bit. Do you sense that at all? And if so, where do you think it comes from?
You mean as far as just making – not just riding with the same crew all the time?
I think even the extent of platooning Stott, I think, is a real decision in the postseason. He's a manager that I did not expect those things from, and they're happening at such a crucial time. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Now, there's been some – I do think Rob Thompson is a manager that will clearly use the eye test versus just analytics, right? He likes the numbers. He'll use those numbers. But, you know, if he says that Edmundo Sosa, when he got that chance to play when Trey was down, who I thought Sosa was phenomenal for a little while, when he played short, was doing that every day, really – was a key factor of this team. I think he saw what Edmundo can do, especially when he plays in the middle. Stott as well, I think, was a tough decision not to play him today. It was a numbers game. But I kind of hear what you're saying. I don't know that I have a great answer. I'm a huge fan of managers that put the same crew out, and maybe I'm old school.
Yeah, right? I was going to ask you that.
Fregosi, here you go. I mean, he just threw guys out there, right? When Terry Francona was the manager in 97, when I played for him, it was a little bit different. I just think right now he's looking at these guys and what they've done. He's had some of it's a gut check. You know, Sosa playing today. He's an energy guy. He hits Manaea. I mean, is he 4-for-8 or some? I don't even know. But his numbers are really good. So, yeah, I would have pitched Nola game two. But, again, that was, I think, a really tough decision for him. And I don't think he's the only one making that decision.
Really?
No, of course not. It's a group decision, right?
I mean,
I think he clearly is the final decision, but I think they all talk about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know who they are.
I think it's a healthy way to have an organization. There's no one person. The only one person in the Phillies organization who can say something and it automatically goes is John Middleton.
And Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Well, I guess Bryce to a certain extent as well.
Stupid.
Yeah. Stupid. Who is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, who is Jack Fritz?
Every day. Imagine 4 hours a day.
Yeah. Just a nuisance. Just an absolute nuisance.
You know, the other thing I'll say to that, I am a firm believer now. And I've seen enough at each level, whether it's college baseball, did that for years, and at the big leagues, that nowadays, when you get to this season, you need all your warriors with some experience. So the young guys, the Sosas, who back in the day, you had a bench guy that would come in, and all of a sudden you'd ask somebody to come in, a Tony Longmire, if you guys remember that, or
yes,
somebody like that. Hey, lay down a bunt. Well, I haven't done it all year. I haven't really played all year. What you see now is Rob Thompson's really good. He gets everybody quality playing time and in situations throughout the year that they might be used in the postseason.
Like that organ?
Yeah, it's a crazy.
That's the loudest organ I've ever.
It's unbelievable.
Good timing.
It's like the AC/DC of organs. What's going on here?
Stock, is this a series? I know they've been aggressive with getting Johan Rojas out at home at CBP, but given how big that outfield is Johan Rojas a 9-inning player up here? Because outside of like a bases loaded one out in like the eighth situation, does Johan Rojas have to play 9 up here?
Up here being at this park?
At this ballpark. I mean, he's such an advantage out there.
He is. He is. But I also think that teams look at him as an out.
Sure.
So if – and we saw it the other day. Clemens pinch hit, you know, as, even though it was Clemens,
like the fifth
it was early. Yeah. Right? And then he came out defensively pretty quick too, right?
Sure.
He put Hayes out there. I think in the postseason it's a little different. I think they love his defense. You got to have him. But situationally, you're down by a run late in the game and two guys on. You're gonna pinch hit.
My biggest worry, I guess, would be they have a one-run lead and the game's ending with, like, Marsh and Weston Wilson in center.
You don't like Marsh in center?
I don't like Marsh in center.
Is it fair enough to say not as much as Rojas? Because I would rather have him out there than many other.
Yeah, I think right? Marsh can do it. I think right. Marsh is a fine center fielder. I think he's an elite left fielder. But, like, given how big this ballpark is, and that game Saturday when you guys were here the last time.
Right.
There was two that fell in.
You're right.
There was Weston Wilson, and it was Marsh. Like, I'd be more wary about pulling Johan here than at CBP.
I think Rob will do everything he can to keep him in there defensively.
Sure.
At the same time, sometimes your hand's forced, right?
Not late in the game and they need a hit.
Yep, it's going to happen.
Totally.
I also think what happened with Marsh a little bit is just it looked like in the first games he was playing in center field, he just didn't have his bearings as to how to break on a ball,
angles?
Where he is. Just almost time, you know. That the more time he's played out there, the better he's got.
Sure. I mean, that clearly people always think like, oh, you play outfield, you can play any position.
Yes.
It's like when I played short, oh, you can go play second. I went over to second base a couple times. I'm like, whoa, my gosh. Like the cutoffs and relays are different. The pop-ups are all the angles are so different. I have to cover in a bunt now. I mean, it is quite different to go from if you're left or right field. You are not the guy, right? Your center fielder is in command. And Rojas is great at that.
Yep.
You go to center as Marsh. Now all of a sudden you're in command and have to be the loudest guy. It can be a little bit of an adjustment.
It's like when Ike went from outside linebacker to edge rusher in 1998. I mean, it's a totally different sport.
Yeah, and that wasn't pretty.
I hear you.
That was not pretty.
Kevin Stocker with us. So, final. I know you're going to give me something positive, but I think it will make us all feel good.
Give us something positive.
You want something negative?
No.
I think,
what's your gut telling you about this? Because I keep wanting to say, we got this. But if I'm being honest, the Mets are terrifying right now. They never stop. It just seems like unless we can find a way to be in the bottom half of an inning on the road, I'm just – So
set him straight.
What is your,
this is what I've been dealing with for
do
a whole week.
You have to deal
week.
With
yes,
this.
Yes, yeah. yes. Yeah. Oh, you ought to hear Jack go. He's worse.
Yeah. You know, he's a fan. Again, I ran into a gal working at the ballpark the other day after the loss.
Yeah.
And she literally, her shoulders were slumped over.
Man.
And I said, what's wrong? She's like, I just can't shake last night. She goes, how do you guys do it? And I'm like, exactly. Right? It's not easy as an athlete. These guys, how they shake. It's tough. So, yeah, the Mets are.
So what's your gut tell you?
I feel good about tonight. I feel not as good about tomorrow night.
Okay.
I'm nervous about tomorrow night a little bit.
Yep.
Just because I'm not sure where Ranger is.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him be good since June.
He just hasn't been consistent.
Yeah.
But he's kept the guys – he's kept the team in games.
That's all I need him to do.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well.
In the postseason, it's a little different.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're right. And the thing about Ranger is he spoiled everybody so early, so now that's what I want from Ranger every time, and maybe it's not fair. I like Aaron. I do like Aaron throwing tonight. He's been really good in the postseason. I think he's a pitcher, too, that has proven he can go six or seven innings so the bullpen can be ready for tomorrow.
Yep.
Right.
So if you need to go early to the bullpen, okay, that's a good sign for tomorrow. So I do like tonight's game.
All right. I'll take it. I'll take the positive on tonight.
Wow, that's easy. I had more for you, but we'll just go with that.
if we win tonight and lose tomorrow, having Zach Wheeler at home, you know, like
The other thing is, I'll be honest with you. So the game times are a real thing. The game times.
Because of the
shadow thing.
The shadow is
otherwise.
A real thing. And
okay.
Sean Manaea, where his release point is, you guys will watch the game, and you'll see him out wide and down. It's really hard to pick up. Right now it's overcast, right?
Yes.
If it stays overcast, that'd be great for the hitters.
Yep.
I think Manaea is way tougher to pick up than, let's say, an Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola's release point to me is something, his curveball is nasty, but it's different than Manaea where he crossfires. That could be something that's a little concerning, but I'm praying for a cloud or something to come over here.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm telling you.
Well, listen, Schwarb just went second deck to the right field.
Did you see that?
That was a
my goodness.
Batting practice. Yeah. I mean, I was the greatest batting practice player ever. And yet I'm a 250 hitter with less than 30 home runs. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, great on the driving range.
Yeah.
Well, now you're talking about golf. That's a little different.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you. You'll be able to hear Kevin tonight during the game, from game three here from Citi Field. We appreciate you coming
Thanks,
by,
guys.
Man.
Yeah,
appreciate
you having you guys here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Always a pleasure listening to you,
bro. All right, man. Thanks.
You know, spooky season, as they like to call it, is
spooky.
Here. Yeah, spooky season. There is nothing scarier than the car that you're driving, your old bank-up car. So the Cars Are John Ashdale wants to help solve that. The team at Colonial, they want to help you ghost your ride this month. Every 2024 Hyundai on the lot needs to disappear like a ghost in the night. Colonial has some scary good deals. Over 200 vehicles in stock. Drive home in Elantra or Tucson or Santa Fe, Kona, whatever. 0% financing for 60 months. They're also going to give you the best trade-in value that you're going to get anywhere. $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. Also, every new Hyundai comes – this is not scary at all. This is actually the opposite of scary. Every new Hyundai coming with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. Stay away from the ghouls. Ghost your ride with a deal on a new car that won't come back to haunt you. Online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. So, Ike, having soccer in here, now we know Jack is our baseball guy. But then when you hear a real baseball guy line up like Stocker, come on, man. You hear what the information's really like when you're not dealing with AAA or you know,
Division three,
you know, Jack over there. Do you hear the difference?
Yeah.
Do you hear the difference, Ike?
I hear it. He doesn't have his head set on.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm doing it. Well, I do it with him there anyway. 215-592-9494. Loretta in Cherry Hill, you're on WIP.
Hello?
Loretta.
Yes, hi.
Do you have any faith in Aaron Nola tonight?
No.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Positive.
I'm giving you I'll make it short because I'm not an expert on stats with baseball, but I have season tickets with my son. And okay. I have a group of girls. We watch almost every game, and we always bow our heads when Aaron's going to pitch because
oh my god,
we don't have the faith in him. I mean, we know he comes through, and I argue with my son all the time. He's like, "Who else would you rather have in there?" And I don't have an answer for that. But
besides Wheeler,
he turns the ball down the middle. He gives up the home run, and then he's always shocked by it.
And that bothers you?
Yeah, it bothers me. I'm like, you should have figured that out by now. And again, I don't know curveballs from anything, but I know when it goes right straight over the middle and in the middle of the plate, and they hit it and it goes out, and he's surprised. I'm wondering why that is, and he'll give up at least 3 home runs tonight.
All right. Go, Phil.
Wow. You
got to save this call, man.
Wow, Loretta.
Seriously. Awesome.
Well, you got to save the call. You're the Nola guy.
Of course.
Well, I appreciate it.
Talk some sense into Loretta.
We need that today.
No.
We need that today.
All right.
I know people say we need positivity. I need that kind of call today.
Yeah. All right. We are taking you up until game time today. It is the WIP Afternoon Show on a business trip. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Now I understand why we didn't go to break. I was very confused as to what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I am too.
Well, yeah. Nah, I was trying to do my thing. We're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Jack's just doing the off-air convo.
Well, I thought you were doing a read, and I was like, all right, we're going to break.
That's not what we call them.
I thought we were doing something.
Our partner.
I thought we were doing something.
Talking about a trusted partner. We did.
Okay.
But then I needed to talk to Loretta. So.
I love Loretta.
Yes. So.
Nice and miserable.
We are at Citi Field. We will take you up until game time. This is your WIP Afternoon Show extended pregame show.
Yeah.
Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? 215-592-9494. Do you trust that the offense has figured it out? This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.